Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Bashneft Q2 2013 IFRS Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you the conference is being recorded today, Tuesday the 27th of August, 2013. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Maria Radina, Head of IR Department. Please go ahead.
Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are. Today we welcome you to our results conference call. In this room, we have several top managers with us. We have our CEO, Alexander Korsik, our Head of Upstream Division, Mikhail Stavsky, our VP for Upstream, Oleg Mikhaylov, our CFO, Denis Stankevich, our VP for Strategy and Development, Igor Marchenko, and me, Maria Radina. I will go through the short disclaimer. Certain statements in this presentation may contain assumptions or forecasts with respect to forthcoming events within Bashneft Group. The words expect, estimates, intent, will, could, negations thereof, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after the above-mentioned date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual events and results of Bashneft Group to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, general economic conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market changes in our industries, and many other factors. Now, I am turning the floor over to our CEO, Alexander Korsik.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning or good afternoon. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. I will describe key events in the activities of the company during the second quarter, and after that, I'll pass the word to Denis Stankevich, our CFO, who will give you more financial flavor and talk in details about financial results of the company. First of all, about operational results, upstream. Production of crude is going up. Average daily production increased by 2.1% in the first half of 2013 in comparison to the same period of 2012. If you remember, we gave you a promise a couple of years ago that we'll maintain production at the level of 15 million tons. As you see, we're keeping this promise and doing a bit more. Production is still growing, and it's already significantly higher than 15 million tons per year. Downstream, we increased the level of refining in the first half of this year by 4.2% in comparison to first half of 2012. We increased production of light products from 58.9% to 60.7%. It happened due to some modernization and increase in capacity of a delayed coker unit and hydrocracker of vacuum gasoline. You probably noticed that we increased significantly the production of motor fuels of Euro 4 and Euro 5 categories. Now we're producing more than 90% gasoline of these standards and approximately 30% of diesel fuel. Thefts and Titov, the issue which interests everybody. I'm proud to say that we started production in the field, as we have promised some time ago, several times. Again, we're keeping our promises. The field is already producing roughly 2,000 tons per day. 200,000 will be a little bit later. And not per day, of course. Field is producing, everything goes well. We are planning to produce this year about 300,000 tons, next year roughly 900,000 tons. I'll try to respond to possible questions about the risks of development of this field. As you know, the region is quite difficult in terms of field development, and we have our own program of mitigating the risks. Mainly, the program consists of two parts. Part number one, the program is divided into three stages. Stage number one, we built infrastructure only for 1.5 million tons of production. On the basis of the results of stage one, we're going to increase during the stage two the infrastructure up to the level of 3 million tons, and on the stage three up to 4.8 million tons. The numbers can change, taking into account the results which we're going to get during the stage one and stage two. We're actively using know-how of companies which were operating in the region for a number of years. I mean leading Russian companies, Rosneft and Lukoil. We have either some people who joined Bashneft and who previously worked for these companies, or we are just sharing information and know-how with these companies. We're also in discussions with leading international majors who have similar fields, and probably surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, they're eager to share their own experience in what way they were doing all over the world. I would like just to mention three companies: British Gas, Shell, and Conoco. And we are trying to use the best service providers. I mean Schlumberger, Halliburton, and Bashneft Burenia, who is not Bashneft Burenia, Gazprom Burenia, who won the tender for drilling in Treves and Titov fields. We feel quite confident that we're going to reach the results which we were promising, and our geologists feel quite sure on the basis of results which we got during the first month of working in this field of producing in the field of TREPS. Non-core assets. As you know, there was, I don't know whether there was press release already, the decision by the general meeting of shareholders of Bashneft was taken on 26th of August. The decision is about the sale of petrochemical assets to Sistema, AFK Sistema. The price is 6.2 billion rubles. We are selling our stake in Ufaoxynthes synthesis to gas processing plants and assets which are producing bisphenol, which are closely linked with the production of Ufaoxynthes synthesis. About our services. As you remember, we created a holding which is called Bashneft Servisne Aktivo or Bashneft Services, which consists of all service assets of Bashneft. It was done in the first half of this year. By that particular moment, we transferred all assets necessary for full-scale work of this company to Bashneft Services, and the company is ready for sale. One of the options which are being considered is the sale to AFK Sistema as well. Dividends, probably the issue which is of the most interest to all stakeholders in the company. The board of directors will take place on the 31st of October, and the board will make a decision about the amount of dividends which will be paid. Of course, the decision about the dividends is the decision of the shareholders, not of the management, but our recommendation is to have total dividends paid within 2013 in amount similar to a total payment to shareholders during 2012. This amount includes both dividends as dividends and payments which were made for shares which were purchased from minority shareholders during the process of reorganization of the company. Basically, those are all major events I wanted to dwell upon, and now I'd like to pass the word to Denis Stankevich, who will give you more financial details of second quarter and over the first half of this year. Thank you very much.
Добрый день, леди и джентльмены. Буду говорить по-русски и последовательно перевести.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I will speak Russian and therefore will have a consecutive interpretation.
С точки зрения макроэкономики, которую мы увидели во втором квартале 2013 года, тенденции были таковы, что происходило как снижение цен на нефть, так и курса доллара.
Well, from the point of view of the macroeconomical point of view that we were able to see in the second quarter of the year 2013, the trends were such that we have seen a reduction of oil prices and the exchange rate for the US dollar.
Данное снижение было частично компенсировано в нашей выручке изменениями в налогах, таких как НДПИ и таможенные пошлины. Также мы получили лучше, чем в первом квартале, крэк-спред между продуктами и нефтью на рынке реализации нефтепродуктов.
Well, this reduction was partially compensated by in our revenue by changes in the tax legislation, such as tax for land users and custom fees. Also, we have received better than in the first quarter spreads between oil products and oil and the market of oil products.
С точки зрения операционных показателей, как сказал президент, мы добыли больше нефти и также провели большую переработку нефти в нефтепродукты.
As from the point of view of operational indicators, as the president has already told you, we have produced more oil and we have also conducted a deeper processing of oil into oil products.
Это позволило нам увеличить выручку как второго квартала к первому, так и относительно первого полугодия 2013 года к 2012 году.
This has permitted us to increase the revenue of the second quarter compared to the first quarter, and also in respect to the first half of the year 2013 compared to the first half of the year in the year 2012.
Также важно отметить, что динамика цен на нефтепродукты на внутреннем рынке во втором квартале 2013 года была необычна относительно всех предыдущих лет.
Also, it worth to mention that price dynamics for oil products on the internal market in the year 2013 second quarter was unusual compared to all previous years.
Речь идет о том, что мы не видели обычного роста цен на нефтепродукты на внутреннем рынке, на такие нефтепродукты, как автомобильное и дизельное топливо, во втором квартале относительно первого.
And the main factor was that we didn't see usual price growth for oil products on the internal market for such products as car gasoline and diesel fuel in the second quarter compared to the quarter one.
Вследствие этого менеджментом компании было принято решение о нераспродаже остатков нефтепродуктов, накопленных в первом квартале, а о оставлении их на остатках компании для реализации в третьем квартале.
Due to this, the management of the company have made a decision not to sell all the remaining oil products that have been accumulated in the quarter one, but to keep them, the residuals of the company, to sell them in the quarter three.
Как мы можем отметить сейчас, это решение было правильным, потому что цены на нефтепродукты в третьем квартале значительно выросли.
And as we can see now, this was a right decision because the oil product prices in the quarter three have significantly increased.
Однако с точки зрения второго квартала это не позволило нам еще более существенно растить выручку и получить больше показатель EBITDA.
However, from the point of view of the Q2, this didn't permit us to significantly increase our revenue and to get higher indicator of OIBDA.
С точки зрения операционных затрат, мы видим, что по показателю удельных затрат на переработку нефти мы остаемся на одинаковом уровне и не повышаем эти затраты.
From the point of view of the OPEX, we do see that on the processing of oil, revenues were on the same level, and we do not increase these expenses.
По себестоимости upstream, по добыче нефти, произошло незначительное увеличение во втором квартале. Это связано с выполнением программы ГТМ, а также проведением сейсморазведывательных работ.
As for the expenses for the upstream, for the oil production, we had significant increase in the quarter two. This was related to the program of well works and exploration works as well.
Sorry, both the significant increase, slight increase.
Slight increase.
Относительно прибыли, вы видите в нашем отчете, что мы находимся в рамках консенсуса прогноза.
And speaking about the profits, as you can see in our report, we are in the framework of the forecast.
Инвестиции. По нашей инвестиционной активности мы также находимся в рамках сделанного нами прогноза и подтверждаем этот прогноз. Мы предполагаем потратить на инвестиции 40-45 миллиардов в течение этого года.
Well, speaking about investments, according to our investment activities, we also are in the framework of the forecast that we have made, and we do confirm these forecasts, and we do assume to spend for investments 40 to 45 billion in the course of this year.
Общий объем инвестиций по первому полугодию составил 20 миллиардов рублей.
The total amount of the investments in the first 6 months was on a level of 20 billion rubles.
Долг. По нашей долговой нагрузке компания имела такой операционный поток, который позволил снизить долговую нагрузку со 125 до 106 миллиардов.
Speaking about debts, on the basis of our debt load, the company had operational flow that has permitted us to reduce the debt load from 125 to 106 billion.
Кроме того, забегая немного вперед, в течение уже третьего квартала мы понизили долговую нагрузку еще на 20 миллиардов, и на сегодняшний день она составляет 86 миллиардов.
In addition to that, looking forward in the course of the Q3, we were able to reduce the debt load by 20 billion, and today it's 86 billion.
Кроме того, компания провела ряд операций с долгом и перевела часть долга в валюту, что позволило снизить общую стоимость этого долга.
In addition to that, the company has conducted a number of debt-related operations, and we have transferred some of the debt into the hard currency, which has allowed us to reduce the total cost of this debt.
Кроме того, одно из важных событий, произошедших во втором квартале 2013 года, было изменение прогноза по рейтингу агентства Fitch со стабильного на позитив.
Another happening, one of the very important events which did happen in the Q2 of the year 2013 was changes in the forecast in the Fitch agency rating from stable to positive.
И я прошу прощения, я оговорился по курсу доллара в начале.
And also, I've made a talk over about the exchange rate in the beginning. Thank you very much. That's it.
Operator, please, let's start the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Alexander Morin from SolveLink. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I have a few questions. First, about the decision of board of directors. Can you characterize the decisions of board of directors which took place on 29 and 30 July M&A? What is your further strategy? The second question is, have you made any decision on purchase of Rosneft assets, and what is possible sum of the deal? The third, just clarify, do you plan to pay interim dividends, or you plan to pay only annual dividends? The fourth question, can you reveal details on the motivational program for the management? Does it affect on market capitalization? And the last question, do main shareholders plan to implement implement a partial or complete sale of Bashneft in future? Thank you.
Alexander, thank you very much. I believe it's five questions. First of all, about M&A strategy. In principle, it hasn't undergone any changes. We still stick to very strict criteria investment, and we are not going to purchase anything which is, goes out of the framework of our investment criteria. We are continuing to look at upstream assets, mostly. Those are producing fields, non-producing fields. We're planning to participate in the auctions. We're looking for some fields around our core areas of operations, I mean Bashkiria and the Orenburgskaya region. We're looking for some oil fields in the Nenets Autonomous region, our second major region of development. But again, our investment criteria are remaining the same. If we're going to buy something, those assets are going to produce DCF not lower than the amount of money we're going to pay for these assets, so no changes. As to Rosneft and potential purchase of some assets for Rosneft, what has been offered to us up to date is not of a huge interest for Bashneft. In line with our M&A policy and our investment criteria, we have some ideas of our own what we would like to get, but I'm not really sure whether Rosneft would agree to this idea. So the acquisition of assets from Rosneft, to my mind, at this particular moment, is quite doubtful. About dividends, we're paying dividends.
Значит, относительно дивидендов, ну, во-первых, мы уже заплатили часть дивидендов по результатам 2012 года, которые были одобрены на собрании акционеров. Эти дивиденды буквально на прошлой неделе были оплачены, и цифра составляет примерно 5 миллиардов с небольшим. Значит, то, что касается будущих дивидендов, о которых говорил президент, мы предполагаем сделать предложение совету директоров, а далее оно может быть транслировано собранию акционеров, о выплате промежуточных дивидендов по результатам текущего года. И если наши предложения будут приняты, то эти выплаты будут произведены в конце ноября, в начале декабря текущего года.
As for the dividends, first of all, we already have paid dividends partially upon the results of the year 2012, and they were approved at the board of shareholders. These dividends were paid last week, and the amount was 5 billion plus. As for the future period dividends that Mr. President was speaking about, we assume to make a proposal to the board of directors, and then it can be broadcasted to the shareholders' meeting about payment of the intermediate dividends upon the results of the current year. And if our proposal will be accepted, then these payments will be conducted at the end of November or beginning of December of the current year.
There are two more questions. One is about the motivation of managers and how it is linked to the value of the company. Is it right? Is it
yes,
proper?
Yes.
The program of long-term motivation is yet to be approved in the nearest future, and it's linked to the value of the company. Right now, shareholders are considering in which way to measure the value, because to measure the value only by the prices of shares at the market on day-to-day basis is not a fully reliable mechanism, because the liquidity of the company is not great. It's significant, but it's not great. So right now the major decision is what kind of methods of valuation of the company should be made. But definitely the motivation of the managers will be linked to the value of the company.
Mm-hmm.
As to the sale...
Maybe as an optional program, so you just like a sample, maybe.
It will probably be in the form of phantom shares.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
As to the sale of Bashnet, probably you are referring to the rumors circulating in the market for a long time that Bashnet is for sale. Probably I'll repeat myself, but I talked to the major shareholder of the company, to Mr. Yevtushenkov, and he told me that he does not consider the sale of Bashnet. Of course, any shareholder at a certain point of time would be looking for an exit or potential exit, and one of the possible options would be an IPO, which we are still considering. But IPO should take place only when the company is fully ready for the IPO, from the terms of reaching maximum amount and maximum value of the company at that particular time, and of course the timing of IPO would depend on the conditions of the market. It does make sense to make an IPO when nobody is ready to buy at the right price. So we are in the process of preparing for an IPO, but no concrete decisions were made about that yet. Thank you.
Thank you for your all answers. Keep up for your great work. Bye.
Thank you. And we now have a question in the room from Pavel Sorokin from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the presentation, and I have two brief questions. The first one is, can you give a little bit more detail on the present state of development? And that is basically, how fast do you plan to ramp up production? How much capital have you spent to date? And how much of the $180 billion budget, which you outlined in the presentation, will you spend as you reach peak production in 2020? So that's the first question. And the second one is related to brownfield outsourcing. What should we be modeling, since considering your stellar results this half, what should we be modeling in terms of brownfield production growth for the next 2-3 years? And what capex should we be expecting at Brown in the same period? Thank you very much.
Добрый день, уважаемые коллеги. По отрицию ситуа, как уже было сказано, проект разбит на 3 этапа. Первый этап – добыча 1,5 миллиона тонн. И сегодня, без учета покупки лицензии, которая стоила 18,4 миллиарда рублей, затрачено 24 миллиарда рублей на проект. И сегодня запущено 12 разведочных скважин, которые дают в сутки 2100 тонн нефти. Построена инфраструктура, это внутрипромысловые трубопроводы, ЦПС на добычу, возможность добычи 1,5 миллиона тонн переработки, подготовки и трубопровод до...
Паузу, пожалуйста, делай, потому что возможность...
Well, hello, dear colleagues. In Treves and Titov, as it was previously said, the project was divided into three stages. The stage number one, production of 1.5 million tons, and today, without consideration of the purchasing of license, which costed us 18.4 billion rubles, we have spent 20.4 billion rubles for this project. And today we have launched 12 exploration wells, which give daily 2,100 tons of oil. Also, we have built the infrastructure, the pipeline, the central unit for the production processing of 1.5 million tons and preparing it for the processing and the pipeline all the way to...
Новорандей, пункт приема сдачи нефти, по которой, через который проходит коммерческая... сдачи нефти на Варандейский терминал и затем через масляное устройство, называемое поплавок, грузится на танкер.
To the pipeline to the Varande for the delivery of oil, and through this pipeline the commercial delivery of oil is being submitted to the Varandeyski terminal, and then through the external device we deliver to the tanker.
На пик добычи в 4,8 миллиона тонн в год проект выйдет к 2020 году.
The project will be able to reach 4.8 tons by the year 2020.
И общие затраты по проекту достигнут, ну, в прогнозе 180 миллиардов рублей.
And the total amount of capex for the project will reach, in the forecast, 180 billion rubles.
Вопрос по Башкирии. По Башкирии мы планируем поддерживать. The question about the brownfield production. We're planning to maintain plateau at the same level as we reached in 2013. So, as Mr. Korsak has announced, it's about 15 million tons, but the exact number is going to be known definitely by the end of the year. But we do not foresee growth with keeping the plateau, although the plateau is going to be at a higher level than it was before.
Okay, thank you very much for the answers.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Pavel Kushner from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions, please. First of all, can you please confirm that in calculation of dividends to be paid in the course of 2013, we should take into account the amount of cash spent on buyback program in the course of reorganization? And the second question, you mentioned that you decided to withhold oil products and not sell them in the course of the second quarter in order to be able to sell them in the third quarter. However, my calculations show that the realization volumes for products in the second quarter exceeded production by approximately 130,000 tons, which means that you did sell some products from inventory. Can you please confirm that? Thank you.
About the dividends, I'll answer this question. The answer is yes. And the second question is...
Относительно продажи нефтепродуктов
во втором квартале мы действительно приняли решение по удержанию продажи именно нефтепродуктов, а не нефти. Понятно, что вся нефть, которую мы добыли, была либо продана, либо переработана, в этом случае мы ничего не копили. Относительно нефтепродуктов накопление происходило по моторным топливам. В то же время все темные нефтепродукты реализовывались в том объеме, в котором они вырабатывались. Соответственно, снижение реализации во втором квартале не было. Речь идет о том, что мы могли продемонстрировать больший рост по этой реализации, реализовав моторное топливо, накопленное в первом квартале, но мы этого не сделали. Фактически мы оставили остатки на том же уровне, что отличает остатки именно моторных топлив, что отличает этот год от нескольких предыдущих.
In respect to the sale of the oil products in the Q2, we truly made a decision to hold the sale of oil products and not oil. It is understandable that all oil that we have manufactured was reprocessed or sold. We didn't accumulate anything. In respect to the oil products, the accumulation was happening on motor fuels. At the same time, all crude oil products were sold in this volume they were produced. Therefore, reduction in the realization in the Q2 didn't happen. But what we've been speaking about, we were able to demonstrate higher growth in this realization by selling the motor fuel that was accumulated in the Q1, but we didn't do that. Basically, we kept the remainder on the same level, which differentiates the residue of the motor fuel this year from previous several years.
Да, но все-таки у меня вопрос по второму кварталу. У вас было произведено продуктов 4.95 миллионов тонн, а продано 5.08 миллионов тонн. Таким образом, реализация превысила производство нефтепродуктов на 130 тысяч тонн. Вот именно этого касался мой вопрос.
Ну, здесь тоже никакой особенной проблемы нет. Как я уже сказал, речь идет больше о том, что у нас сократились нефтепродукты темные, которые были в пути, а накопление проходило по моторным топливам. И, скажем так, еще раз повторю, что это было не накопление второго квартала, а не реализация накопленного в первом квартале. А само превышение, то, что вы заметили, объема нефтепродуктов касается нефтепродуктов темных, именно вакуумного газойля и мазута. Как вы видите, достаточно существенно больше мы реализовали мазута и на экспортных направлениях во втором квартале, потому что открылись такие возможности. Одно из очень важных событий, которое случилось во втором квартале, оно может быть не такое значительное, но большое для нас, мы начали грузить водой мазут, чего несколько последних лет не было. То есть мы получили дополнительную возможность по реализации этого мазута, скажем, другим видом транспорта.
As I've told you, we're speaking about the fact that we have reduced oil products, the crude products that were along the way, and the accumulation did happen for the motor fuels. And I will repeat myself, it was not accumulation of the Q2, but products that were not sold in the Q1. Therefore, the exceeding that you have noticed yourself of the volume of the oil products, it was related to the dark oil products, vacuum gas oil and fuel oil. As you can see, a very significantly bigger amount of fuel oil was sold to the export directions in the Q2 because we have opened such an opportunities. And one of the very important events which did happen in the Q2, maybe it's not so significant but very big to us, we have started transporting by sea the fuel oil, which didn't happen in previous years, and we have received additional opportunity to sell this fuel oil through other type of transportation.
Not sea, river.
River, sorry.
Вы не уточнили, какая вода.
Ну, в Башкирии просто море, нет?
Да, да, да.
Павел, have we answered your question?
Ну, конечно же, я должен признаться, что нет, потому что я сейчас смотрю, что превышение продаж бензина было 70 тысяч над производством, превышение продаж дизеля 30 тысяч над производством, мазута всего лишь 20 тысяч над производством. То есть из расчетов получается, что вы и светлых нефтепродуктов продали во втором квартале больше, чем произвели. Но я думаю, что мы можем это обсудить позже. Спасибо.
Павел, я вернусь к тебе после звонка. Operator, let's jump to the next question, please.
Thank you. The next question comes from Anton Fedotov from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation. I had initially two questions. My first question was already answered. My second question is, can you please repeat the date of the board of directors meeting that will decide on the interim dividends?
31st October this year.
31st.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Grigory Berg from Investorcast. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you very much for the presentation. I have two sets of questions. One is for the dividends, the other one to the President Titov. First, about the dividends, should we expect the dividends to be in line with the strict policy of Rosneft or, you know, 10% of net income going forward? And was that deviation from the dividend policy of high payout ratios that happened last year to continue as long as the high investments associated with the development of the field are to continue, or should the shareholders be expected to be partially compensated for the relatively low dividends of the full year 2012? And the second question is regarding the start of Trevs and Titov field. Congratulations on that. Maybe I was mistaken thinking that there was a risk of delay in the startup of the field because of the issues with the license. Have these issues been solved, or what sort of an agreement has been reached, and how is the ongoing work happening on the field, and how is it coordinated with Lukoil? Thank you.
First of all, about dividends. Dividends policy is to pay not less than 10% of net profit, but it's a bare minimum which company is, I would say, obliged to pay. We are paying everything which is not needed for the current activities of the company. We plan dividends on the basis of what capex we should do, what should be our operational expenditure, and everything else is at the disposal of the shareholders, taking into account that our debt to EBITDA ratio should go beyond the reasonable levels which we have outlined several times. As to the compensation of what you called lower dividends which were paid in 2012, we believe that all payments made to shareholders should be taken into account, and these payments include like payments made in the form of dividends and the payments made in the form of purchasing the shares from the shareholders which decided not to swap their shares for shares of Rosneft. So I don't believe there should be kind of any compensation. We are speaking about the total amount which is being paid by the company to all shareholders. As to the future, the policy is the same, to pay as much as possible without inflicting any damage on the future of the company, with a reasonable level of capital investment which would allow to create long-term value of the company. But of course, shareholders want dividends and will try to pay as much as possible without breaking two rules. Rule number one, do not destroy the future of the company. Rule number two, do not create a debt which can put the company into a difficult situation if something radical happens to oil prices. And we are following these two rules. As to Trevs and Titov, we are in line with our license agreements. we will use the scheme of swap for crude. We're going to refine to the 42% of oil produced in trade-sensitive fields. Of course, not physical oil, but the oil which we'll get as a result of swap with another company in Ufa refineries, and we're going to sell 15% of crude through St. Petersburg oil and oil products exchange. As to the cooperation with Lukoil, we, as you remember, signed an agreement with Lukoil in early 2011, and we are working exactly in line with this agreement. Everything which was agreed with Lukoil, despite the fact that license belongs to Bashneft, is being followed. We make all major decisions together with Lukoil, and we consider Lukoil our strategic partner in this region, and without Lukoil, we wouldn't have been able to start production in these fields in 2013. Early production brings additional profits both to the company and to the government as well, which is able to get a much higher amount of taxes within forthcoming years than it would have gotten in case we would have followed another route for transportation of crude. So we feel quite comfortable with relation to our license applications. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Alexei Kokin from Orsib Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Alexei Kokin from Eurosip. I had a question about your product output in the second quarter. I noticed that your product output was up about 5% quarter on quarter, although throughput was up only 1%. So I think it's quite an amazing efficiency gain, and maybe a decrease in product lost or used up. Could you please elaborate on that?
Речь идет о том, что учет в компании организован таким образом, что отгруженная продукция, реализованная продукция считается по отгрузке, и произведенная продукция тоже считается по отгрузке. И когда идет вовлечение компонентов, эта составляющая, а именно составляющая потерь, она изменяется. Если говорить о реальных потерях, то есть сколько процентов нефтепродуктов получается из переработанной нефти, то стабильная цифра – это примерно 90%, то есть 10% потерь получается на компании. Все остальное – это изменение в накоплении компонентов. То есть незавершенный продукт.
Well, right now I'm speaking that... The accounting in a company has been organized in such a way that sold products are calculated by deliveries, and manufactured products is also calculated by deliveries. So when we involve components, this is the main component of the losses, and it can be changed. And speaking about real losses, in other words, how much in percent of oil products has been received from refined oil, this table number is approximately 90%, so 10% losses in the company. All the remaining numbers are changes in the accumulation of components.
Еще небольшое уточнение. Это не потери, а потери незначительную часть составляют. Остальное это использование на топливо.
And I would like to make a small markup. These are not losses, because losses are insignificant, and the remaining part is used for fuel purposes.
Thank you very much. Спасибо. Большое.
Thank you. The next question comes from Andrei Agromadin from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have mainly follow-up questions, short ones. First one on dividend. You mentioned that dividend payment will be similar for 2013 versus 2012. Could you just clarify? We are talking about 5 billion rubles or 24 billion rubles, including share buyback spending. Second, about debt reduction guidance you mentioned during the presentation. You mentioned that total debt decreased in third quarter so far by ₸20 billion. Could you clarify this number? Is it including dividend payment for 2012 or not? And could you just indicate what kind of net debt reduction that resulted in? And final question on Trepts and Titov, if I may. Could you please clarify again first stage CapEx and second stage, just to think about this project in stages? Thank you.
Относительно вопроса про дивиденды, это не когда мы говорим про 5 миллиардов рублей, это дивиденды, выплаченные по итогам 2012 года, то есть решение, принятое по итогам года. Они начислены и выплачены. Когда мы говорим про общий размер дивидендов, выплаченных в течение года, то они включают в себя как эти 5 миллиардов, так и ожидаемые нами промежуточные дивиденды по результатам уже 2013 года, но выплачены тоже в 2013 году. Соответственно, вот именно сумма этих двух показателей и будет составлять примерно ту же сумму, по нашему мнению, как мы в прошлом году выплатили в виде дивидендов и в виде затрат на выкуп акций у миноритарных акционеров.
Well, speaking about the question of on dividends, when we speak about 5 billion rubles, these are dividends which were paid upon the results of the year 2012, the decision that was made upon the results of the year. They've been accrued and paid. When we speak about a total volume of dividends paid in the course of the year, they include these 5 billion and expected intermediate dividends upon the results of the year 2013, but also paid in the year 2013. As a consequence, the amount of these two indicators will make approximately the same amount, on the basis of our opinion, as in the last year we have paid as dividends and costs for purchasing of the shares from the minority shareholders.
Второй вопрос относительно размера чистого долга. Да, мы сказали, что мы погасили 20 миллиардов и уменьшили размер общего долга на 20 миллиардов. Размер чистого долга также уменьшен, но это уменьшение значительно меньше. Цифра есть на 20-й странице нашего документа МДА и составляет 77 миллиардов против 81.
Well, and a question number two related to the amount of the net debt. Yes, we did say that we have paid 20 billion and we have reduced the total amount of the debt by 20 billion. The total amount of the net debt was reduced, but this reduction is significantly less. The numbers are available on the page number 20 of our NDA document, and it makes 77 billion compared to 81.
Относительно капитальных затрат на проект Трепс-Титова, наш руководитель апстрима уже назвал сегодня цифру, она составляет чуть более 20 миллиардов затрат на проект, не считая затрат на выкуп лицензии. Это то, что мы потратили на сегодняшний день. Цифры по этапам мы на сегодняшний день раскрывать не готовы. Готовы сказать, что мы потратим в следующем году примерно тот же уровень, 20 миллиардов в течение года, но это совместные затраты вместе с Лукойлом. В нашей части 75% от этой цифры.
Well, as for the CapEx for the Trepts-Titova project, our upstream top manager has already called the number. It's a little bit more than 20 billion capex for the project, not counting the costs for the license purchase. And this is how much we did spend up to today. Numbers by stages we cannot disclose until today, because we can say that next year we will spend approximately the same amount, 20 billion in the course of the year, but this is together with Lukoil in our part, it takes 75%.
Thank you very much. May I just quickly follow up on dividend? Does your clarification mean that we should expect 28 billion ruble interim dividend? At least it's your recommendation on this payment.
Смотрите, наша оценка чуть выше. Давайте вот Мария Радина у нас вернется к вам по результатам звонка, еще с вами свяжется. Мы считаем, что наша рекомендация по промежуточным дивидендам будет чуть выше той цифры, которую вы назвали.
Mm-hmm. Спасибо.
Well, our assessment is a little bit higher, but Maria Radina will come back to you on the results of this call, and she will get in touch with you, because we think that our recommendation on the interim dividends will be a little bit higher than the number that you just called.
Operator, let's jump to the next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ivan Kwamashu from Gazprom Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. My first question is about the following. Whether Bashneft has currently any plans or already started work on further simplification of shareholding structure, I mean Sistema Invest. The second question is about accounting of TREPS and DETOF, CAPEX and future revenues. What part will be accounted on Bashneft balance and what part will be accounted as on Bashneft Polus? How will be this decision taken? What part will be placed with which entity? And okay, and that's it.
This is Alexander Korsky. I'll answer the first question. The issue of Sistema Invest is quite complicated, and we are working on this issue together, of course, with Sistema. You remember that we own 49% and Sistema owns 51% of Sistema Invest. I believe we came to the plan which can be implemented. We just need to make some final touches to that plan, and it's quite a difficult task, taking into account that interests of all stakeholders in the company should be taken on a fair basis. We're still in the process of finalizing this plan. As soon as we're ready, we'll inform you about the implementation of this plan. But we have an option how to do it, so nobody loses or wins in the process of this reorganization.
Вопрос второй по капекс затраты и выручку на трепетитово станкевич низ. Значит, то, как мы будем учитывать, зависит от того, где будет находиться лицензия на ТРЭПС Титова. Если мы говорим о сегодняшнем дне, и вы все знаете, что лицензия находится в Башнефти, соответственно, часть капекса находится на самой Башнефти. Частично мы финансируем Башнефть-Полюс через инвестиции в зависимые предприятия. То, что касается выручки, ну, как вы видите, за первое полугодие пока нет. За второе полугодие лицензия у нас, выручка будет в Башнефти. Как только процесс лицензии будет завершен, лицензия будет передана на Башнефть Полюс, а вы знаете, мы этим вопросом занимаемся и считаем, что так оно и будет в результате, соответственно, все инвестиции будут проходить с точки зрения баланса Башнефти как инвестиции в Башнефть Полюс, а уже сами капитальные затраты на строительство как скважин, так и инфраструктуры будут проходить на Башнефть полюс, и там же будет отражаться и выручка.
But for the capex and revenues for TREFT, Titovastan Kirjdinis, the way how we will account for it depends on where the license will be held for TREFT, Titova. If we are speaking about the current situation, and you all know that the license is in the accounts of Bashneft, therefore some of the capex is also in the Bashneft. Therefore, partially we do finance Bashneft polis through investments of interdependent companies. As for the revenues, as you can see, the revenue for the first half of the year is not available. For the second half of the year, the revenue will be in the Bashneft. As soon as the licensing process will be completed, the license will be transferred to the Bashneft police, and we are involved in this issue, and we believe that it will happen this way. Therefore, all the investments will go from the point of view of balances to Bashneft as investments Bashneft police, and capex for the construction of wealth and infrastructure will go to Bashneft Polis and will be reflected in revenues.
I have a follow-up question. So do you mean that 100% of revenues will be accounted on Bashneft books? And in this case, how you will be affect maybe payments to Lukoil to reflect its shareholding in TREFT and Titov?
Да, совершенно верно, вы сделали правильный вывод. В этом году вся выручка будет отражена в книгах Башнефти, но эта ситуация временная, и в этом году никаких платежей в сторону Лукойла не ожидалось в любом случае. То, что касается платежей от Лукойла нам и финансирования этого проекта, то Лукойл финансировал этот проект и будет его продолжать финансировать в будущем в рамках тех договоренностей, которые были нами достигнуты первоначально.
То есть у вас будет копиться какая-то задолженность?
Well, you're absolutely right. You came to the right conclusion. This year all the revenue will be reflected in Bashneft books. However, this is a temporary situation, and this year no payments to Lukoil are not expected in any case. As for the payments from Lukoil to us and financing of this project, Lukoil has financed this project and will continue financing it in the future in the framework of those agreements that were achieved between us at the initial stage.
Another follow-up, please. Mean that there will be some amounts due to Lukoil be accumulating this year? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello.
Ну, я просто повторю, что у нас на сегодняшний день выплат в ближайшее время и не подразумевалось от нас по проекту в сторону Лукойла или в сторону Башнефти. Пока идет инвестиционный период, не предполагающий какого-то пейбека обратно. Сейчас идет процесс инвестиций, поэтому в это время Лукойл и не получал бы ничего обратно, как и Башнефть не получала бы в любой организации проекта в ближайшие несколько лет. Когда проект будет достигнет той точки, когда пойдут выплаты от него, мы предполагаем, что к тому времени уже давно вопрос с лицензией будет решен, и платежи в сторону Лукойла и Башнефти в виде, например, дивидендных выплат пойдут так, как было договорено в самом начале.
Well, I would like to repeat myself. Today, payments in the near future have not been mentioned from us towards Lukoil on or towards Bashneft, because we are in an investment project which does not assume any return payback. Right now, we are in an investment project. That's why both Lukoil wouldn't receive anything as paybacks, and Bashneft wouldn't receive anything as in any organization of civil projects in the next few years. Therefore, when the project will reach the point and payments will start from it, we do assume that by that time the issue with the license will be solved and payments towards Lukoil and Bashneft, as for example dividend payments, will start flowing as it was agreed in the beginning.
Если речь идет о том, что сегодняшний финансовый результат полностью попадает в Башнефть и не учитывается в совместных деятельности, то, скажем так, пересчет и инструментарий возврата этого, этих денег в сторону Лукойла будет, будет разработан тогда, когда мы будем убеждены, тогда, когда мы будем знать точную дату перехода лицензии на Башнефть в пользу.
And if you mean that current financial results are totally in the Bashneft accounts and are not considered in the total activities, well, the recalculations and instruments of returning this money towards Lukoil will be delivered and developed when we will be confident and when we will know the exact date of transition of license to Bashneft Polis.
Thank you. And if I may, a short technical question.
Yes.
Thank you. Question is regarding the 4.5 billion of in cash flow for investment activities. What is their nature? What kind of outflow it was? It second quarter 2013 investing activities called other. Thank you.
Если вы имеете в виду 410 в разделе прочее, то речь идет об инвестициях, которые пока еще до сих пор принадлежат нам, и инвестиции в ребрендинг, который у нас нет, извините, это только сервиса, ребрендинг у нас с переработки и коммерции.
Well, if you mean the section others and the amount of 410, then we are speaking about investments into services which still belong to us, and perhaps, well, only services. Thank you.
Probably not that. I mean a cash flow statement. I mean the cash flow spent into investment activities. It's
Прошу прощения, давайте мы к вам вернемся. У нас еще один вопрос в очереди, и через минуту линия оборвется. Мы вам на ваш вопрос ответим позже. Хорошо, если можно?
Спасибо.
Спасибо.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Matthew Thomas from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the conference call. I'd like to shift the conversation downstream for just a moment, if I may. I've got two questions on your downstream. First of all, with regards to the 2015 problem that the Russian refining sector faces with export duties on heavy products rising to 100%, what exactly is your latest thinking around strategic investment plans in the downstream? Are you, in fact, still proceeding with plans to completely eliminate VGO and heavy fuel oil production, perhaps not quite by 2015, but certainly within a year or two of that deadline? Or is your thinking evolving on how much investment you'd actually like to proceed with in the downstream, in the refining level, I should say? So that's my first question. My second question is further downstream to the retail level. I'd like to know also a bit about your thought process in retail with respect to acquisitions. You've got, I think, roughly 480 stations today in either owned or partnership form. What do you regard as the optimal number of stations given the size of your business? And when you're looking for targets to acquire, is the most important aspect the sort of potential profitability of the retail network itself? Or are you looking for retail as a way to perhaps provide a bit of an insurance policy in case the Russian refining sector over the next 5 or 7 years overbuilds and there's a real premium placed on the ability to actually place product from your refineries within distribution channels? Just some color on how you think about retail would be helpful. Thank you.
Денис Станкевич, первый вопрос. Относительно пошлин 100% в 2015 году. Здесь есть две составляющие. Первое. Мы, конечно же, готовимся к введению этих пошлин и осуществляем инвестиции в процессы глубокой переработки. Это и расширение действующих каталитических и гидрокрекингов. И эти инвестиции у нас запланированы и производятся на сегодняшний день. И второе – это строительство установки замедленного коксования, которое мы планируем осуществить на одном из наших заводов, дополнительно к двум существующим. Все эти инвестиции позволят полностью уйти от темных нефтепродуктов. Это первая часть.
Well, Stankevich, Denise, the first question as for the 100% dues by the year 2015, there are two parts in this issue. First one, we are getting ready for introduction of these dues. We are making investments in the process of deep refinery. And this extension of the existing catalytic and hydrocracking facilities, and these investments were planned by us and are being invested today. And the second one is the reduced slow coke production facility that we are planning to do in one of our facilities in addition to two existing ones. So all these investments will allow us to get rid of dark oil products, heavy oil products. This is part number one.
С другой стороны, наблюдая за развитием нефтепереработки во всей Российской Федерации, мы предполагаем, что введение данной пошлины будет отодвинуто на 1-2 года в силу того, что в противном случае большинство переработки в Российской Федерации станет убыточной в силу того, что заводы остальные не успеют модернизироваться к тому сроку, который указан 2015 год.
And looking at the development of the oil refinery in the Russian Federation, we assume that introduction of these dues will be moved by 1-2 years due to the fact that in another situation, most of the refineries in Russian Federation will be not profitable due to the fact that other refineries will not be able to modernize themselves by the deadline that was specified in the year 2015.
Относительно вашего вопроса про розницу, в первую очередь мы расцениваем розницу как маржинальный канал по реализации продуктов собственного производства. И количество заправочных станций для нас является функцией от того объема нефтепродуктов, которые мы сможем производить на мощностях, которые есть сейчас и которые будут введены после модернизации.
As for your question related to the retail, first of all, we look at the retail as a marginal channel to sell our products, our own manufacturing products, and the amount of fueling stations for us is a function from the total volume of oil products that we will be able to produce and the capacities that are available today and that will be introduced after modernization.
В первую очередь станции направлены на реализацию автомобильного бензина, ну и во вторую на реализацию дизельного топлива. Количество наших заправочных станций должно быть таково, чтобы мы могли реализовывать от 80 до 90% производства собственного автомобильного бензина через эти автозаправочные станции. Количество их, мы предполагаем, будет между 800 и 1000 штук.
Well, first of all, the fueling stations to sell the automotive fuel, and second of all, for the diesel fuel sales, the number of our fueling stations should be in such an amount that we will be able to sell from 80 to 90% of our own production to these fueling stations. So the total number of them will be according to our assumption, from 800 to 1,000.
Я закончил. Ответ на второй вопрос.
I have finished my answer to the second question.
Thank you. If I could just ask a very quick follow-up. First of all, the I think you've confirmed.
Sorry, Matthew. Hi, it's Marie here. So
yeah.
We have no time. Sorry for further questions. I will come back to you after the call.
Sure, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Sorry for that.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. And that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.